Hello and welcome to another episode of OKC Over Easy on the Spy Podcast Network. I'm Mallory Kraft and I'm glad you're here.
To another episode of OKC Over Easy on the Spy FM Podcast Network. This episode is sponsored by Coop Ale Works. So thank you, Coop, for sponsoring OKC Over Easy and keeping it local. Congratulations on the new location on 23rd Street, the old Armory building, which we'll talk about in a little bit. That's going to be our OKC talk section. But welcome to my guest, Greg.
I'm here. What's up, guys?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. I've been old part of town, but and I realize this is a thing here.
I don't think Greg comes down here often.
Actually, I do. That's the bad part. I live like 5 minutes away.
So. He was very impressed by the spy. He was like, "Well, I've just never seen this place."
I've driven by here a lot, yeah. So
I didn't know about it until I came and was on one of the radio shows, and then I was like, "Okay, this is a place that you can come and hang out."
Right?
Yeah. Wow. And then Ferris gave me a key, so, you know.
Now it's dangerous.
I know. <Yeah. laughs> That was a weird day. He was like, here's a key. I was like, wow, I think I've graduated.
Yeah. I had like a job in high school, like running the gym. Remember they gave me a key like to open up. I feel like I had so much power.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's when you know. That's when you know. Greg is here and he is the CEO, the president, the owner of MyoBrain Performance. And we're going to talk about tracking macros. We're going to talk about nutrition and food and all that kind of stuff. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But tell me, what did you do today? This is a Saturday.
Yeah, my Saturdays are pretty lame.
Okay.
I just like worked out this morning.
Okay.
Sent some emails. I'm going to go to the pool and have some fun.
Good.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
But I tend to work a decent amount on the weekends.
Okay.
And then like Thursday and Friday, I kind of chill.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a little
you set
different.
Your own schedule because you
do.
Own your own business.
Yeah, which is sometimes difficult to do. People underestimate that.
Yeah.
It's really easy to not work sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Like on a Tuesday at noon, you're not motivated. It's like,
take a nap.
No one's telling me to go to work.
Yeah.
You know, I have to tell myself every time. So, yeah.
That would be hard. But then you also have that like flexibility too.
Yeah. It could be like a Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. and I'm like, oh, I want to do something.
Right. So
kind of, I mean, you probably still work the same. It's just a lot more sporadic than
broken up.
Typical. And I try to be somewhat regimented, but again, it's hard sometimes. You're not motivated.
Yeah.
To stick to a schedule only you know about. You know?
Yeah. And I'm like very, very regimented because I, you know, have an office job. So it's like either 7 to 5 or 8 to 6. And then I get off at noon on Fridays, which sometimes that just feels like. Sometimes it feels like a 3-day weekend and sometimes it just feels like a throwaway. Like the week was like so long that you're like, well, I guess I have four extra hours, you know, on a Friday. And I'm not in that like party phase anymore. Like I feel like.
Start drinking at 12:01.
Right. Yeah. 5 years ago, I would have been like, all right, you know, let's get this party started at like noon on Friday. But now I just go home and like sweep, you know?
Yep. So. That's how it has evolution, I feel like.
I haven't really done anything either. I took my dog for a walk. We went to the new Starbucks in Nichols Hills. And I was, you know, posting on Instagram, obviously. And the tag, the location tag is Rich White People Starbucks. Like,
wait, really?
Someone had gone on there and grabbed that location, and that's what they named it. Like before Starbucks could get
this
in there.
This is on the Instagram
location.
So if I tap that little thing on there, it would typically say like
Starbucks.
Really?
It says Rich White People Starbucks, which had me cracking up.
That's funny.
And so I'm like, but true though.
Whoever did that should come out and just like say it was him. That's very clever.
I'm like that. Somebody had to plan that because they were building that Starbucks.
Right, they would have to know
for a while.
Some inside info.
Yeah. So we did that and then went back home, did some stuff around the house, and then came out here. But I was cracking up.
Dang. Makes me want to go there now.
You should.
Although I did go there and the Wi-Fi was kind of, it was like their first weeks. Maybe it wasn't awesome yet. But I'm also not a big fan of like, I don't know if it's like their new modeling system. So I think the one by Torchy's.
Okay.
Somewhat new.
Uh-huh.
They have like that huge long table mm-hmm. for sitting.
Yeah.
And then they just have like this background of open seats mm-hmm. kind of. I feel like I'm like in a library, like having to sit with like a table with people.
Right.
This feel like I feel like more like segmented.
It also feels very bigger city to me, like that there's a lot. Like in Chicago, like
they need that seat.
Yeah, yeah, there's yeah, a lot more don't. People that are coming in and like working on their laptops. No, we don't. Like, we don't need that. But no though. One, yeah,
it's not here.
Everyone's in their house in Yukon, and they're like not coming to this Starbucks right. to do work. Yeah, I got you. I didn't really. I just went in, grabbed my coffee, and came back out because I tied my dog up. But yeah, this is rich white people. So that was
not. Not false.
Not false. So we're going to jump into the first segment, and that's Eat of the Week. Do you have something that you've been eating lately that you're into or a restaurant? I don't really have anything this week.
It's not new. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just like a little throwback. I've been doing some overnight oats.
Okay.
And it's mainly just like a laziness thing because mm-hmm. I have this huge discrepancy between I love breakfast and mm-hmm. breakfast food the most.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Just hands down the most. But I hate cooking in the morning. Mm-hmm. I hate like, I just want to just like grab a coffee and
yeah.
Read or something. I don't want to like manually do stuff in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
And I usually my laziness wins.
Yeah.
So doing the overnight oats where I can just prepare it and then like, I literally just grab it out of my fridge.
Yeah.
Like add protein powder, mix it up, and mm-hmm. I'm like,
good to go.
2 minutes of my morning and yeah. not 30 minutes of my morning. So
overnight oats are also good because in the summer they're cold.
Right. That's true. I didn't think about that, but
you're not like heating your body up like you would with regular oatmeal.
Yeah.
Do you put any like fruit or anything on it or just like straight up oats?
And my recipe is like oats, peanut butter, some vanilla Greek yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Think that's it. Oh, some like unsweetened cocoa powder.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will just put that in the refrigerator. I don't really have like a reason for why I do this. I just don't think it would mix well. And I leave that there and I just add a like a chocolate whey protein
mm-hmm.
in the morning. So I don't think that's very soluble to like leave.
Yeah.
So I would just put that in last minute.
Protein powder acts weird sometimes. It's not. Yeah. It's not the.
So you put it in the fridge and
yeah.
cool it. Yeah. So I just put that last second. And it's pretty good for a breakfast. You don't have to really. I can do it in 5 minutes at night and then it's done.
Tomorrow, yeah. You know? I'm not a huge overnight oats person just for the texture aspect. I'm not a huge oatmeal person yeah. either. Like every so often I'll go for it, but that I usually go for eggs in the morning. So like a hard boiled egg or scrambled eggs or whatever. So I'm more of an egg person.
Yeah.
But overnight oats sometimes are a nice cool treat
right.
for a summer day.
Someone could cook me some eggs and bacon and pancakes. I would
yeah. that. Yes, takes, I would like
takes
that
more
too.
Time.
Yeah. I like biscuits and gravy. That's probably like my favorite. Yeah. I did go to Hop Dottie okay. last weekend.
That's the cool thing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. They offered me like to go as like a media
yeah.
person. So we went and delicious. I mean, just as good. I had eaten at the one in Austin a couple years ago, but just as good as the one in Austin. They were like, order however many burgers you want. So okay. we got four burgers and then we split them in fourths and we ended up with like half of that gone. So we each probably had one burger
right.
each. And French fry. Everything's good. Everybody should go eat there. It's just kind of stepping up Oklahoma City a little bit more, you know,
yeah.
Restaurant wise. So glad that they're here. I'm gonna do a blog post next week about it. So look out for that. And then next week I will be releasing my Breakfast Battles newsletter, and we're going to talk about cereal. So, Ooh. Do you have a favorite cereal?
I do love cereal. Probably, if I had one cereal just the last day of my life, it'd mm-hmm. be Captain Crunch.
Okay.
But I hate that. Just ruins your mouth
oh
and
my,
your teeth.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens.
I know.
But it does.
Yeah.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Mm-hmm.
I was big Reese Puffs growing up, but I think I just ate too much of it. Now mm-hmm. I just can't do anymore, but
yeah,
Captain Crunch is usually my go-to.
It's so funny because I have a lot of listeners that are millennials. So I have gotten so much feedback on cereal. Like whenever I ask about it,
right.
I did like a cereal survey and I had like 150 responses. I'm like, that's insane.
Different types?
It was kind of like, do you like cereal? What do you eat cereal with? Did your parents let you eat cereal? A lot of people, and I was the same way, their parents did not let them eat sugary cereal. My mom was like, you have to pick out a cereal that's lower than like 3 grams of sugar per serving or something. So now as an adult, I only like Cheerios, Chex, like all the ones that are like very bland. Yeah. It's truly interesting.
I had friends like that were like Honey Nut Cheerios were their treat.
Right. Like, and like, I don't even like, now I don't like Honey Nut Cheerios.
Dang, okay. You guys are living over there.
So that was one of the questions on the survey. I was like, do you resent your parents now? Because they wouldn't let you eat sugary cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the same way with like Coke, my parents never let me drink Coke or anything. So growing up, I don't even.
You use Coke as a category for all soda? It's like a Texas thing, right?
Well, I think of Coke as
Colas
and like full sugar sodas. So my dad has diabetes, so he would always have Diet Coke in the house.
Right.
So like there's Coke, which is like Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, all that kind of stuff. And then there's Diet Coke, which is just Diet Coke.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But like Mountain Dew is Mountain Dew.
Right. Yeah. But then when I grew up, I was like, I can take it or leave it. Like sometimes I'll have a Diet Coke, but you know.
Right.
So next up is Grocery Gab. And this is where I kind of just talk about any grocery store news. I just kind of want to ask you, where do you grocery shop?
I mainly do Trader Joe's because that's a proximity thing. I live really close to Trader Joe's and Whole Foods, but the Whole Foods prices are,
you're right.
They're up there, right? So Trader Joe's, I think, is a really good alternative. I really even shop the Whole Foods ever, to be honest with you, because I see stuff and I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And then I really like Uptown, but I'm just pretty far away from that now. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, I like their like meat section there. I can get something more than just like regular beef or regular chicken because I'm a pretty lazy cooker.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can get some like pre-marinated something or something like that, it just helps me not eat bland
food
all the time. So I typically do Trader Joe's, and if I want to splurge, I'll drive up to Uptown.
Okay.
But
okay.
I'm pretty structured with that. I don't really, like, my roommate went to, like, the new Homeland, and I don't really venture out too much unless I, like, need to find something specific. I'll go to Target sometimes to get, like, Kodiak cakes or something that's a little bit more, like, a specialty item.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I love a Trader Joe's trip. I like Aldi too, because I feel like it's like a Trader Joe's hack.
Right.
This week, actually yesterday, BuzzFeed posted an article and it was best frozen foods at Trader Joe's. And it was like the BuzzFeed Tasty or whatever. And I got the email and it was my photo of my basket with my hand in the article. Like they had gone onto Instagram and they had found that picture and they used it for everything, but they like didn't credit me. So I was like, why? It was so upsetting. But I'm like, that's my hand on BuzzFeed. There it is.
Now you can prove that to your attorney.
I like emailed them. I like sent them a message.
It's definitely a white girl's hand.
I was like, dang. I could have gotten so many more follows on Instagram from that.
What did you know if you like hashtag something specifically, they probably found it?
Which this is real. There's Trader Joe's like fan accounts. So like people that just absolutely love Trader Joe's, they repost pictures like that. So one of them reposted it and then they credited that one. So I was like, It was upsetting. I do love Trader Joe's though. Excited to see what happens in October when the wine comes because they have like a little sign there and it's like wine is coming and they have like a countdown. It'll be very interesting.
Which show is that?
Winter is coming.
Is that a play on that?
Yeah.
I think it probably is.
Yeah. I don't have any grocery store news. I've been doing Aldi and Sam's. But nothing too big to report. So the next segment is the OKC Talk segment. I wanted to talk about Coop Ale Works. They are moving from out in the boonies to 23rd Street. And they are going to redevelop the old armory building on 23rd. And they're turning it into a brewery. I think there's going to be a restaurant and maybe a hotel in it. I'm not sure what the... Let me find this. I'll edit this out.
That's a...
Yeah, 22-room boutique hotel. That's jump. Cool, right?
Is it going to be like 5 rooms in or something? Or?
It's 22 rooms. Yeah.
That's clever.
I think it's great. Coop is such a huge presence in the Oklahoma craft beer. I mean, probably the biggest presence in the Oklahoma craft beer scene. So they are just kind of taking it to the next level, which I think is really cool, all this new development. So congrats to them. Okay, so let's talk about you. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about yourself, what you do, and all that kind of stuff.
Cool spiel. Yeah, so
do the spiel.
Yeah, MyoBrain kind of or super organically started when I was like a sophomore in college. Mm-hmm. I was in school for health, general stuff, and I got into the macro scene very, mm-hmm. very early.
Yes.
It's like 20, I was probably tracking my macros like in 2010.
Okay.
And then became really comfortable with it like 2012, 2013. Mm-hmm. I did a bodybuilding show. Mm-hmm. This was when probably one of the first years of Instagram too, where like your photos looked awful and like mm-hmm. everyone's caption was like 6 words or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and
had the border around.
Yeah. And if you go back and look at your photos, it was cool when you had like 10 likes because no one was on Instagram. So it was just like, it was very different ballgame. And I would post like my meals mm-hmm. and I would post like the macros with it. So mm-hmm. I'd put like 10, 14, 54 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd post meals of me eating like, again, I was kind of that person where mm-hmm. I was a little bit showing off of like eating ice cream and getting leaner and having like cake and getting leaner. So again, the macro thing was so new. People were very confused mm-hmm. on how I was eating this type of food and still getting leaner and doing like, you know, very extreme thing of doing a bodybuilding show where you're getting to like single digits body fat. Right. So I kind of got some traction from that. I started just to like, not from a business perspective, kind of just like, this is what I'm doing, like mm-hmm. posting my exercises and posting recipes, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I would do some educational content on free for YouTube.
Okay.
So just like how to set up your macros and like my stuff I did this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just get like messages from people about wanting help. Mm-hmm. And then I set up like an email account and I would just answer people's questions for free. And then one day I was like, man, this is like 5 people and I'm a student, so I was mm-hmm. like, I charge them like $20 a month or something, just ridiculously low.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, we'll see it. And then it really just kind of grew off of referrals from that, and mm-hmm. I had no idea what I was doing, mm-hmm. right? I'm like a 19-year-old getting emails from, like, you know, it seemed weird to me, but like a 35-year-old wanted me to like help them with nutrition. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm just a little kid.
Yeah,
but sure.
Yeah, I don't know that much.
And yeah, so I just kind of organically built MyoBrain. It was very big with bodybuilding physique type of clients mm-hmm. initially, because that's what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout my years of college, I built up MyoBrain to be big enough. I didn't have to have like a college job, mm-hmm. right? I did personal training at our rec center.
Okay.
But other than that, I didn't like work at our Starbucks or Applebee's or whatever. It was mm-hmm. enough for me to like pay my bills essentially, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became, a good enough money when I graduated. I probably could have like given it a shot already,
mm-hmm.
but I was still a little bit hesitant about full bore, just doing that, no other job. So, applied to some grad schools. That's what brought me here to Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. I went to the Health Science Center for Nutrition and Dietetics.
Okay.
So cool. I got my master's there for a year and a half. MyoBrain really started to pick up when I got here and just got surrounded by more people locally.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a super small town, and even my college town was really small. So
mm-hmm.
almost all of my clients were not local.
Okay.
And then I got here and I just like got a ton of local clients mm-hmm. along with the people from across the world. So mm-hmm. by the time I graduated grad school, I was having 100% a full-time gig and trying to like hold my water mm-hmm. with school. So, I did my grad school stuff in nutrition, did like a 9-month internship with a whole bunch of rotations. And by that time, I was definitely ready just to do MyoBrain. So since 2016, maybe December of 2016, so pretty much just 2017, year and a half. Mm-hmm. I've been just doing MyoBrain stuff from there. So again, it wasn't like, I wish it was like a cooler thing of like I had this, you know, grand plan or whatever, mm-hmm. but really I just documented my stuff. People were asking me questions and just like building a website and taking on clients and all this stuff just been something organically. I've just tried to like listen to podcasts and mm-hmm. read books about and become more business savvy with stuff. I've always been interested in nutrition and fitness side of things, but mm-hmm. becoming more business savvy has been not my, you know, route I was expecting to go. So that's kind of the origin mm-hmm. of MyoBrain, how it kind of begun.
Yeah. Can you tell me, and the listeners, a little bit about, I guess, how counting macros originated and then actually what it is?
Yeah, so I may butcher this a little bit, but this is my understanding that back in like, I wasn't around on the internet in these days, but I think it was probably like that 05 to 08 range is when mm-hmm. it like started.
That's when I was exclusively on the internet.
Okay, so there were like these, I would never really do this, but there's things called like forum. I know what a forum is, but uh-huh. I never like posted on a forum or whatever.
Right.
So there were bodybuilding.com, which is like the biggest fitness website ever for mm-hmm. not just like supplements, but a lot of people like would learn about mm-hmm. Nutrition and training advice from people on there. So you kind of had like some head honchos, usernames, you knew, like these people knew their stuff.
Right.
And it kind of always
and
comment.
They had all the little stars next to it.
Yeah. So when this person commented, you're like, okay, he knows about training chest or whatever right. it was. So apparently there was a whole bunch of people that would ask very like topical questions, meaning should I eat brown rice or white rice? Uh-huh. Or what time should I have breakfast? Uh-huh. Or what sort of carbohydrate should I have for my workout? And they weren't getting the big picture, which is that your body composition, you know, gaining muscle and losing fat is really more about the totality of what you eat throughout the day and throughout the weeks and long term. And they're mm-hmm. getting just too caught up in these really micromanaging of things.
Yeah.
So this guy came up with an acronym, IFYM.
Okay.
To kind of just quickly post on stuff when people would ask those questions.
Mm-hmm.
And he would kind of explain it of, if it fits your macros, then you can eat it.
Okay.
Right? Meaning like if it's brown rice or white rice and you have that many carbs to eat for the day,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the origin of it. And then what, 10 years later, at least now, it's becoming, you know, turned into something not so awesome where it's essentially not if it's white rice or brown rice, can you eat it? But it's like how much junk can I eat and essentially still hit my numbers. But that's right. been... At least from my understanding, that was the origin of it. I have no idea who that like person was.
Yeah.
It probably was more of a group of people
mm-hmm.
that really started to popularize it. And then people that I kind of heard it from were like Lyle McDonald mm-hmm. and Alan Aragon, who were older researchers now, probably like in their 40s and 50s. And they're more hard science type of guys. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people like, I'm certainly a very small fish, but people like myself and other people who are a little bit younger,
mm-hmm.
I've kind of more popularized it with mm-hmm. social media and writing ebooks and stuff like that.
So. It's very interesting to me that it was born kind of out of the internet and
right.
like out of, it's like totally different than, you know, any other diet that you can think or way of eating.
It was
you know?
Essentially a quick way to explain to people why it was okay for them to eat white rice and not mm-hmm. brown rice. And he could have written a 20-page ebook on why it was the case, but mm-hmm. it's obviously a lot easier to give someone, if it fits your macros, you can eat it.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, that means I can have it. And then
right. yeah.
that applies to really any food decision. You know, can I have milk? Because dairy is bad for me. Mm-hmm. It would apply to that. You know, mm-hmm. so it was kind of his really simple way of giving some people some good advice, you know?
Okay, cool. So just do, I guess, like a little rundown of like what it means to track your macros. Because we started,
right.
you and I started, I was like, okay, I'm going to track my macros. I probably got 3 or 4 weeks into it and I was like, okay, this is great. And then I just like fell off the wagon. It was in a time where my job was a little bit stressful and I was like not focused on it. And I was like, I don't want to keep stringing you along
right.
and being like, I'm dedicated to this when I'm really not. But I thought it was a great experiment just to see how my body reacted to it and like how my mind reacted to it, and also just to put it in practice for for a few weeks. So I thought it was awesome. So thank you for coaching me those
times. I think one of the, you know, it's certainly all my nutrition clients track, not maybe their macros, but they track something for me because I'm just a very analytical person. Mm-hmm. And I do think the people that would enjoy tracking their macros mm-hmm. tend to be more analytical people. Mm-hmm. I have worked with some people who are like fit people mm-hmm. or in shape people trying to get more in shape. Mm-hmm. And they just try it out because it's, you know, a little bit more popular and fatty now.
Yeah.
And they don't like tracking stuff on their phones. Mm-hmm. They're not number people. They're not spreadsheet people. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Like, it just may not be the, some people are really good about just like having a flow and habits and how they feel.
Yeah.
And that's
how your clothes fit.
Right. And that's how it works for them. But, really for a lot of people, it's, I would say a last resort, mm-hmm. but it's okay. Like, you tried really simple rules, like eating every 3 hours, mm-hmm. or you try not having dairy, like those, mm-hmm. like these simple things. And when you track your macros, assuming whoever you're working with is doing their job correctly and, mm-hmm. and you're patient with it, it's like a surefire way to improve your physique, mm-hmm. right? Because you can go on paleo or go on keto or whatever and just eat foods mm-hmm. and hope you're in a calorie deficit to lose weight.
Right.
But if you're tracking your calories and your macros, you're going to be in a deficit.
You know, right? Yeah,
so
you know
it, exactly. It is more work up front for people. Mm-hmm. But for those people who have, you know, kind of tried a whole bunch of things and then they're like, okay, I'm going to invest some time in it. Mm-hmm. It can kind of be a life changer for those people, I think.
You know? Yeah. And when you track macros, you're talking about tracking your macronutrients.
Yes.
And you're tracking your carbs, your protein, and your fat.
Right.
So if it fits your macros, I guess. So like you look at the nutritional information in, you know, a protein bar or a, you know, cup of white rice or whatever. And then you make sure that fits your numbers for the day. So how do you determine the numbers for your different clients?
Right. So yeah, that's really a measure. When people work with me, they fill out a questionnaire and I get things like their height and their weight and their age, how many hours a week they work out, mm-hmm. what they do for a living, because that's like their activity level.
Right.
It's almost actually more important than your exercise, because if you have a very physically demanding job for 8 hours a day, that's going to burn a lot of calories. Mm-hmm. Or if you just sit down for 8 hours a day, that's minimal.
Right.
So I get all of these factors and then I create a rough estimate of what I think they should start off with. Mm-hmm. Without going into too many details, when people track their macros with me, they do tend, most people at least, not everyone, probably maybe a core of my clients don't do this, but most people go with a sort of low fat, moderate carb, high protein intake. Mm-hmm. And it's all relative, right? For someone who's, you know, a 230-pound male, mm-hmm. low fat could be 85 grams. And for someone that's a 105-pound female, low fat could be 45 grams,
that's
right?
But it's very low.
Right. But it's relative, though, into their overall food. Right. It's going to be low fat, moderate carb, high protein. Mm-hmm. And obviously, again, without too much sciencey stuff, you're figuring out someone's calorie intake. Mm-hmm. And then all macros are is breaking that calorie number into a certain amount of fat, carbs, and protein, right? Mm-hmm. So if you've tracked your calories before, like you said, you did Weight Watchers, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah.
Which is essentially
the same
number form of tracking your calories.
Yeah.
You've also tracked your macros and vice versa, because you cannot track your macros without tracking your calories.
Yeah.
So once someone's in that deficit, though, and this is a bigger conversation for people who, most people's goal is to lose weight, mm-hmm. you have to find whatever habits, trends you need to do to consistently be in that calorie deficit. Mm-hmm. That's how any diet is going to effectively work. Mm-hmm. If your friend did keto or paleo or whatever for 6 months and lost weight, that worked for them because they can consistently be in that calorie deficit.
Right.
And I'm not saying that everyone's going to have the same exact habits to be in that calorie deficit, but that's what has to occur, right? And the reason for my low-fat, moderate-carb, high-protein template for a lot of people is that tends to keep them the most full mm-hmm. while they're still in a calorie deficit. There's a lot of factors why people go off of their diet and mm-hmm. just eat too much and then stop making progress, mm-hmm. but constantly being hungry is certainly one of them. Mm-hmm. So if I can have one group of people say eat, or two groups of people say eat 2,000 calories, mm-hmm. but one person's more on like a high fat, moderate carb, low protein, other person's like low fat, moderate carb, high protein, the higher protein group, mm-hmm. lower fat group's going to be more full. Therefore, they're going to be able to sustain that deficit for a much longer time period, right? So that's something that I think people need to be wary of. And it's just really about food volume, meaning if you put those two diets I talked about of maybe say a higher fat, low protein diet mm-hmm. versus a low fat, high protein diet, and you put those 2,000 calorie diets on the table, the high protein foods are going to take up so much more space. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can literally eat a lot of food, yeah. like food mass, mm-hmm. without eating a whole bunch of calories,
right.
which can really just help people sustain that deficit for a long time.
Yeah, so they're not hungry all the time.
Right, and that's certainly going to be beneficial for their adherence mm-hmm. to that.
I have a bunch of like the typical questions, so yeah. I think I'm going to go through that. So you typically track macros, and when you mentioned Weight Watchers, I thought this was really interesting. You do it on your phone or, you know, MyFitnessPal or whatever. And when I think about Weight Watchers, when I did it, they didn't have the app. So yeah. it was like
harder,
you
yeah.
literally did it in like a little book. You had a tiny little calculator, like you couldn't yeah. just search. So I tracked the macros in MyFitnessPal, and you could see what your breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack was each day. So that's basically like where you typically track them. Yeah.
Yeah. Most of my clients use MyFitnessPal. Mm-hmm. Another big one is called My Macros Plus mm-hmm. that some people like. I generally like MyFitnessPal because it tends to be the biggest database when you go and like eat out.
Okay.
So if you're going, obviously, if you go to something local, it's not going to have something in there. But if you go to Chick-fil-A or you mm-hmm. go to Chipotle or something like that, it's going to be in MyFitnessPal. Mm-hmm. So it tends to be more flexible to people's diets. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the time we live in now, it is so incredibly easy to track those sort of things.
Right.
Like I remember in high school when I tracked my calories for the first time, I did it on like, and I'm not that, I'm 26. I'm not old. I mean, I'm not old. And, I did that and I look back and be like, I don't know if I'd put that much effort into it again. If
yeah.
I had to, like it was so, I'd like do the math by myself mm-hmm. and like all of that. So yeah, I mean, being able to, like I said, if you work with someone, they say you should have 200 carbs a day mm-hmm. and you just go into MyFitnessPal and not even like trying to eat healthy, but just track what you have for breakfast. Like I had 2 eggs and mm-hmm. half a cup of oatmeal, and it'll literally just tell you how many fat, carbs, and protein are in that food.
Right.
And that's kind of just helps people from an educational standpoint of a lot of people, you know, we grow up in a world where it's usually more binary. Mm-hmm. It's apples are good and whole grains are good mm-hmm. and then ice cream is bad.
Right.
But our physiology is way more complicated than that.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have been told growing up that a whole grain bagel is quote unquote healthy. Mm-hmm. So you get that every time you go to Starbucks.
Right.
And then you track that one day and it's 65 grams of carbs. Mm-hmm. And I tell you should have 200 a day. You're mm-hmm. like, that's like a third of my carbs
right.
at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, so you learn maybe the things you thought were, you know, healthy for you, maybe aren't as healthy. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something like strawberries, which you thought like were high in sugar and quote unquote bad. Mm-hmm. They're actually super filling and awesome for you. Mm-hmm. Right. So it does kind of help people with just I don't have to even teach them these things. They just track their food and they sort of learn those habits.
Right. That's interesting you brought that up because I wanted to ask you about sugar intake because yes. you don't track sugar. So it might be a little easy to get high on that side of things, or what would you say to that?
Yeah. Yeah. So the way I can get around that for a lot of, I kind of can trick people into not eating too much sugar. Right. So give that example of someone's eating 200 grams of carbohydrates. So obviously any food you eat that has sugar in it, mm-hmm. that's a carbohydrate. So
right.
if you have a soda and it has.
He posted something that was funny and I said, I'm dead. And like LOL, probably yeah. with like a skull emoji. And he said, please don't die. And that's like.
And you were like, I'm a food photographer.
I was
please
like,
love
wow.
me.
He messaged me back.
See? Doesn't it feel good?
It feels good. Yeah. It feels seen.
You feel seen for sure. I love it. That's awesome that we didn't even know that, that we both like him. I need to follow him. I don't think I follow him. I just know that he does the work for Gabi and Dude Diet. And then her new book is Dude Diet Dinners. And she does like lightened up versions of food. She like put her boyfriend on a diet and now they're married. Okay. But like all everything that she makes. And she also was like a private chef for an NFL team. So she was like, well, what do you guys eat? And they were like, Taco Bell. So she like makes lightened up versions of that kind of stuff. So I really love her cookbook. She is very relatable and her food is healthy and easy to make. So
another thing I wanted to mention about Matt real quick is like, I don't have a formal background in photography. I'm totally self-taught.
Yeah.
And just like watching his stories and kind of seeing, well, like.
Like I watch your stories to like try to like.
Sure. Yeah. 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 Like we're doing the same thing. Yeah. And like it would. Yeah. Like he's way cooler than me though. And he probably knows a lot more. But yeah, like he'll get on and he'll say, you know, like I'm using this lens or I'm using this tripod. And you know, like photography is like. It's a big
it's hard.
Hobby, yeah. I guess. Like,
there's you're lots always of things be getting you can new buy.
Equipment. There's, a lot of things you can buy. And to have somebody that you really respect recommend a product, that is really valuable to me. Because I'd say, like, you know, if you're Matt,
then it'll work for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess that kind of, you're self-taught, you do the food photography. What kind of advice would you give for like budding food photographers?
You know,
this is actually a question for me because I am doing a little bit of freelance food photography and I'm a little terrified because I have made it a goal like the past, you know, year to make my Instagram look very pretty. And I've gone to a couple of classes about, you know, I think I did one on HowCon Works, like about Instagram. And I've just been trying to teach myself to make things look pretty.
Notifications that I'm gonna turn these off and I will see them when I want to.
Yeah.
So that made me feel pretty cool.
That is, no, that's good. Yeah. I have them off and then I check in and it's like my friends tagging me in those like memes. Like literally, like, I mean, but it's just like my personal Instagram. Yeah. So it's nothing like that. But like, it's like those funny things that are on like those meme accounts. But yeah, but I don't have Instagram notifications on my phone. But not because I'm a cool food Instagram like you. Okay, that's awesome though.
Yeah, it was Instagram. Like, I don't know what it. I mean, I guess because pictures are the medium there. But
yeah,
it's like I got so many more followers there than anywhere else.
Yeah,
like I have like 300 and something followers on Twitter, which is not that many.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like not very many likes on my Facebook page, but Instagram just like took off.
Yeah,
so
that's awesome though.
Stuck with it.
What do you think about the new algorithm? Is that how you say algorithm? Yeah. Like, I don't know how to say it, you know?
It, I don't know.
Has it changed yet?
I don't know. Like,
can't tell.
It was supposed to roll out on a certain date, and then I don't know that it did that very date.
Because people freaked out. Yeah. They were like,
oh my God. It was like every time I got on Instagram, it was like, turn on post notifications.
Yeah.
Like, some cute font on some background saying, turn on notifications. And like, what I said was, no waffle I take a picture of is important enough that you get a red dot on your phone.
Yeah.
Look at this picture of this waffle.
I'm kind of curious to what your explore page looks like. Like, account. Is it all food?
It's food and cats.
mine is like literally soft boiled eggs and avocado and puppies.
Avocado
like,
toast. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's They've so got funny. It
like I realized one day I was like scrolling through and I was like, oh my God, food and cats. Like they have nailed it. Like,
have you ever seen a gay man's explore page?
No.
It's intense. If you ever get to look at it, you're just like, oh my, Instagram is crazy. Yeah. But that's
they know
a
what
lot.
They're doing.
Okay, so tell me about your favorite food Instagrams, though. If you pour that wine, you better get it.
Yeah. Bacon and braids is a lot of wine.
Yeah, what's up?
Got some good Trader Joe's
wine
here.
We got some Trader Joe's wine that we've actually just finished off.
So, yeah, one is the blogger that I talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. I think it's at Rosie Londoner.
Okay.
So she does food and lifestyle, and she travels a lot and totally lives the, like, dream blogger lifestyle of like,
right,
I went to this cool resort in Mexico with my boyfriend and yeah, everything was paid for and
yeah,
kind of my dream life.
Right.
She takes awesome pictures of food. She has really good recipes too, which I love. Another one is Slapfish.
Okay. I looked at that one and I was like, the aiolis on this.
It's ridiculous.
Are like, what kind of cream is on all of this?
Yeah.
It's like fish tacos, burgers, salads, like sandwiches with like this pink sauce, like on everything.
Yeah. So they, there's
have you
like
been
a,
there?
No, oh, I haven't. And I like, it. I haven't been to California in a while. So I like have to make a trip just to go eat there. So it, I really appreciate, like I said earlier, like I really appreciate when restaurants do Instagram really well. Uh-huh. And they have like nailed it.
Yeah.
Like, all of their pictures are amazing and they have all kinds of seafood.
I want whatever that pink sauce is.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it looks amazing. Yeah. And they have, like today they posted a picture of like a lobster grilled cheese that I was like, oh my God, I need this. Like, this is amazing looking.
Did you eat a grilled cheese? Have you eaten a grilled cheese? I posted this on my Twitter account, but yesterday, and I didn't even know that it was grilled cheese day, but yesterday I was like, didn't really have anything for dinner. So I was like, I think I'm just going to make a grilled cheese with turkey. And I had 2 pieces of Brahm sourdough. I put like mayo and butter on like the top part. And then I put like spicy mayo on the bottom. I had like half of an avocado and I was like, this is the bomb. Like I like cooked it up. I was like, I'm not burning this. Like
I burn every grilled cheese.
It's so hard not to burn it. I know.
I like consider myself a pretty good cook, but I cannot make a grilled cheese for the life of me without burning it.
Low and slow.
It's horrible.
Like the lowest. And so I was like, this is so good. And then I was like, I feel so weird. Like, I feel bloated. I feel like, I was like, why does my face feel weird? And then I was like, I'm going to go weigh myself. I'm just going to go weigh myself. So I like went and weighed myself. I was like, I like freaked out because it was like 4 or 5 pounds heavier than I usually am. And I was like, oh my God. So then this morning, I'm going to show you my face swap with Oprah. I like kind of freaked out. This morning I like went on a, I like sent this to all my friends. It's a face swap. I may post it, but it's like a face swap with me and Oprah. And you know how Oprah's like, I love bread. Yeah. It's like me in my bathroom with like lots of bread around it. But this morning I was like, okay, I'm going to do my run. So I did my run in the morning and then I went and weighed myself and I was like 4 pounds lighter. I was like, was that a 4 pound grilled cheese? What did I eat? That was so, it was terrible.
Yeah.
But this like, grilled cheese looks
good. Yeah, like once I started like a food Instagram, I was like, I felt really committed to all of the ridiculous food holidays that exist. Like, oh, it's National Oatmeal Day. Oh, it's National Grilled Cheese Day. Like, I have to post pictures of all of these things. I have to drop every dinner plan I have.
To
and
do
like,
that.
This is what we're eating now. And I'm taking a picture of it. So yeah,
I did that.
Never existed.
I printed off a list at work. Like, and I put it on the bulletin board. And I'm like, these are all the food days. Everyone's like, okay, you freak. Well, Slapfish, it looks amazing. And they definitely do. Like, what is that? That definitely do Instagram really well. And then you said, what was your other one?
Was Food 52.
Okay.
Yeah, so they do recipes, restaurants, just everything food.
And they repost people?
Yes.
Okay.
But not me.
Never you?
Not yet.
Do you have to tag them in
Yeah,
it?
So okay. I tag, like, every picture I've ever posted on Instagram.
And they're like,
with, like, it's like Food 52 Grams is their hashtag. And,
like, this, you could totally beat this
Yeah,
one.
I, like, look at their pictures. I'm like, oh, mine's better than that, but it's fine.
It's like an udon bowl, and it's not, it looks like they took it on a Razer phone.
Yeah.
Like, you could totally beat
yeah,
that
so
one.
Yeah, so here I am with my nice camera. Like, I hope Food 52
that looks
re-grams
bomb,
me, and they haven't yet. But, no, they do post really good. Really good food photos.
I'm gonna follow both of these.
Yeah.
Slapfish too, because it's great. Well, that's cool. Okay, so I think we're gonna segue into kind of like Oklahoma City stuff. So I didn't know how long you had been in Oklahoma City, but you've been here.
Yeah.
Where are you originally from?
Midwest City.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, I'm originally.
Where'd you go to high school?
Midwest City High School.
Really?
Yeah.
I went to Choctaw. See,
yeah.
That's so crazy. And when? What year did you graduate?
2010.
Oh, okay. So you're a little bit. I graduated 2006, which it's my high school reunion this year, and I'm like crying because it's like literally terrible. Like I'm in a Facebook group, and it's a lot. Like I don't know if I can handle it.
Okay, so you know, like, Oklahoma City pretty well. And I put this on here about, like, what your favorite childhood meal was. And yeah. It's so weird because the one that I just posted. You tell the people what your favorite childhood meal was, and I'll tell you the crazy coincidence.
So, yeah, as a kid, I vividly remember going to Chelino's with my family all the time, and all I would eat was cheese enchiladas with cheese sauce on top. Like, 100% of all the cheese.
On Sooner, right?
Yes.
Literally, my friend Michael, who was on the last episode, he said that was his favorite restaurant. I was like, when I read that, I was like, oh my God. So I'm going to ask you the same thing that I asked him. Do you think the Dr. Pepper is different? Are you a Dr. Pepper person?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Is it like different than normal?
People say that the Dr. Pepper, better, like nothing like it in the city. Like,
I don't drink
okay. Pepper, I'm not a Dr. Pepper person either, but like people are like, the Dr. Pepper is like better at Chelino's. That's so funny. He said that exact, because he's from Midwest City too. And he said that exact Chelino's, and he would get like a chimichanga and just like everything. See, that's so funny.
Chelino's is my jam.
We used to eat at Checkers. I worked Checkers. At Checkers.
That's the best. Monte Cristo's.
Oh my God, they are so good.
They're so good.
That was my first job in high school, was a hostess at Checkers.
Yeah.
And we would get, I would get the Monte Cristo's, and I would get the spinach dip, which isn't really like spinach dip. It's like ranch, but like pink, and it's got spinach in it.
Yeah, the last time I like introduced my boyfriend to Checkers, like sometime last year, we moved there, and I was just like, okay, well, we're going to go there and we're going to get 100% of all the fried things.
Yes.
Like, so we got the fried veggie appetizer.
Of course. Like, why wouldn't you?
8 kinds of vegetables, all battered and fried.
Uh-huh.
Served with that spinach dip.
Yeah.
And then for an entree, we got Monte Cristo's.
Of course. Yeah.
And then we got fried ice cream. So it was
the
like
fried ice cream is so good.
3 courses of deep fried things. And
do you remember the mozzarella stick? It's not mozzarella sticks. It's literally one log of like mozzarella that they deep fry.
I haven't had that.
It's terrible. I'm not a mozzarella stick person, so I'm like, I never liked it, but they served it with that spinach or whatever.
The Monte Cristo's, it's delicious.
Yes.
Everything that's spinach up is delicious.
The Monte Cristo's are bomb. The fried ice cream is good. I liked the homemade potato chips whenever I worked there. That's what I would always get.
That comes in a little veggie basket, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it does on my shift or whatever. But the one thing I want to have to ask you about Checkers, this is so funny that, like, we connect on this. Do you know about the white frog in their fish tank?
No.
There's, like, you know how there's a fish tank in there? There is, like, an albino frog that has been in there for, like, 10 years probably because that's when I worked. Like, I worked there in, like, 2005 or 2006. Yeah. But, that's really funny. Checkers is funny. But that's what I would eat. That's like what reminds me. And then Mandarin Garden. It's closed now.
Oh, I don't think
Mandarin Garden is a Chinese restaurant.
We always ate at Hunan.
Oh.
When I was in high school, it was like you go to lunch at Hunan.
Yeah.
Like a $5.99 like buffet, like jam this to go box with like fried shit.
A $5.99, but like.
When you're like in high school, you eat whatever you want. So you like eat all this fried stuff.
Yeah. That's how Mandarin Garden was. We would get like me and my dad would go and we'd just get like a to-go. Because my mom doesn't like Chinese food. So we would just like get a huge box and just like share it or whatever. That's funny. Midwest City food. I'm trying to think. Napoleon's. Oh my God.
So good.
So good. But they changed management now.
Yeah. Well, it used to be owned by French people and now it's owned by Americans. So, yes. Like, it went a little downhill.
They had the weirdest hours.
Yeah.
It was open from like 11 to 1.
Yeah. They were
only on weekdays.
Yeah. Not on weekends.
And it was for all the Tinker people.
Yeah. And then like it was owned by French people and they would like randomly put a sign on their door that said like, we went to France for a month. We'll be closed for a month.
Closed.
Yeah, so that was a bummer. But no, there, like, when I was in high school, it was
so
like
good.
You could just barely make it out to Napoleon's and back, like, eating your sandwich on the drive back to the high school.
Yes.
And make it back in time.
My dad would go there all the time because he worked at Tinker. Yeah. And so he would take me or whatever. Or we would go to lunch. But I remember one time when they changed management and they moved.
Yeah.
They moved locations.
Like down the street, yeah.
I was at my parents' house on a Saturday. My dad was like, the Napoleon's is open on Saturday. Like, you can go get it or whatever. So I got everybody's order. I'm like in the car, like, go get it. And they had a sign on the door. They're like, now closed Saturday. So I was like, I guess I've never meant to have it again. I mean, Napoleon's is so good, but I dream about it. But I mean, it's not going to be as good as it was when those French people owned it. Definitely like the main guy.
Yeah.
Like everybody knows him.
He like knew my order.
Yeah.
He knew my name because I had a weird last name.
Yeah.
And so like somehow, I don't know if it's like he saw the name on my card or something, but we got to talking about my name or whatever. And yeah, so he like knew me and I got the same thing like every week for like 2 years of my life.
That's so funny. Yeah, I'm trying to think of
like moved to France or something, I guess, like sold their restaurant.
That was so good though. Yeah. I'm trying to think of other like Midwest city staples. I can't. The only other one I remember going to all the time was Lupe's, which was like that Mexican restaurant, but it wasn't very good. But all I remember is Checkers because I worked there. Yeah. And
that's basically like the extent of like good Midwest city food. It's pretty. Oh, Seoul Garden. Have you ever been there?
No.
It's Korean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And my,
where is it located?
It is on 15th and Hudeberg Drive.
Okay. So okay. Like, yeah. Between, I know exactly where that is.
Eredipo and Sooner.
Yeah.
So it's Korean food, and I knew, like, I went to high school with a girl whose parents owned it.
Okay.
It's delicious.
Okay.
It is really good Korean food.
I feel like I've read a review on that before.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's like, if you look up, like, good places in Midwest City, like, on Yelp, like, if you sort it by rating, like, they're pretty
high. Wait, was it an edible at KC?
No, I don't know. It may have been.
I think it was, actually, because they did an interview with maybe the lady that owned it.
Oh.
Cool. I'll have to look and see.
Yeah. So they're really good too. But the other than, yeah, that's like the extent.
That's it.
Like,
now they've added a Ted's though. They've added a garage. Like they've kind of built up, but yeah, when I lived there, it was Checkers, Mandarin Garden, and what was the last one we were talking about? Checkers, Mandarin Garden, and Napoleon's. We're like, this Riesling. So next week is Festival of the Arts.
Yes.
And we love Festival of the Arts because there's a lot of good food there.
Yes.
But I put on there, I sent it to Erica and I was like, Strawberry Newport. Like, it's on my, like, it's, I, you guys, I can't tell you how much I love this dessert. I do a professional photo shoot with it every year. Like, that's what's the collage on my Twitter account. Like, it's so good, but you've never had it.
No, never had it.
You're going to have it this year.
I'm going, apparently.
It's next week. I'm going to go on Friday. I'm going to try to go, like, that's, like, for sure, but I'm going to try to go, like, during the week or whatever. But basically what Strawberry Newport is, it's put on by the Omniplex, which is, I guess, Science Museum Oklahoma now, whatever. But they do, it's, like, a kind of like a puff pastry, and then they do, like, a house-made custard all over it, fresh whipped cream, and strawberries. Like, that's it. But it's just so fresh. Like, it's my favorite, and it reminds me just of Festival of the Arts is, like, for people that live in Oklahoma,
yeah,
it's nostalgic because you go every year or whatever. And once I started doing the, like, the half marathon or whatever, it's like, okay, I'm going to eat this, like, race week, you know, and it's like, it's good. It's good. Yeah. But you're going to have to – is there, like, one specific thing that you always get at the Festival of the Arts or no? Do you go a lot?
No.
She's like, I hate it. I don't go there.
I remember going when I was younger, but I've probably been like two or three times ever.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So you're like me at the state fair. See, yeah. I don't go to the state fair at all.
So you at the Festival of Art of the Arts is like me at the state fair.
Right.
So,
okay. She's like,
I go to that every year.
My name is Bacon and Braids and I love all the fried things.
Hashtag all fried everything.
Exactly. Exactly. You're going to have to go this year and get Strawberry Newport because it's so good. I like, well, it's in a different location this year. It's usually by the Stage Center, which may rest in peace because that got torn down. But now it's in front of the Civic Center, which I'm not really sure how.
Oh,
yeah. Good. I don't know how they're going to
set
it up.
That wouldn't be big enough.
Yeah.
Is it?
I don't think, I mean, I think they have a plan, but I'm not sure, like, what it's going to be. But usually I go and sometimes I just go by myself and I get it, and then I sit in front of, like, the Myriad Garden area, and then I'm just, like, taking pictures of the Strawberry Newport, and then I enjoy it. But I'm going to try to go more than once. But you're going to have to get Strawberry in Newport because it's the reason I'm alive this month, basically. So another thing on there is we always talk – I always talk about fast food on here because I like talking about my favorite fast food meals. So I asked, what is your favorite garbage fast food meal?
Oh, like I will – chow down on some McDonald's.
There you go. Tell me your or like your exact order.
So this is not for me. This is for two people.
Okay. You're like, I have it written down. You're and your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's large. So like, we eat a lot of food. We're both big people. We eat a lot of food. So we always split, usually after drinking, obviously. Like we just like eat McDonald's in the middle of the day. So it's always at like 1 a.m. after drinking.
Yeah.
We get a 20-piece nugget.
Okay.
2 double cheeseburgers, 1 plain because he's weird and like doesn't like condiments.
Okay.
Whatever. So
and you're like, let me get a number 2 with some Mac.
Yeah. So yeah. So we get a 2 double cheeseburgers and a large fry.
Uh-huh.
And a Sprite.
I mean,
yeah.
What so what else is there, right?
I have to get sweet and sour sauce with my nuggets.
Okay.
Or like all hell will break loose because like
and no like no dessert, no like apple pie or anything like that. That's a legit order. I am not a nugget girl. Oh, I'm a McChicken girl.
I love nuggets.
Nuggets are legit though.
So good. Yeah. Like I'm like you're a little kid and they're like, oh, they look like little boots and like little you know, they're like shaped like they're not shaped like anything cool, like dinosaurs or anything. But
yeah.
Yeah. I grew up on McDonald's because my parents like owned a franchise.
Oh, McDonald's. Okay.
So, yeah.
So in Midwest City?
Yeah.
Which one?
23rd and Douglas. It's like in between like Meadow City and Spencer.
23rd and Douglas. I'm trying to
think. It's by a Walmart.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly which McDonald's you're at. Across from Rice Bowl.
Yeah,
do you remember Rice Bowl?
No.
Oh, okay. She's like, hell no.
So, yeah. So, I feel like I kind of grew up on McDonald's. And like, I don't know. People that are like, oh, McDonald's is so bad for you. It's gross. Like, whatever.
Yeah. Like, you've eaten a lot more gross things in your life. For sure.
So, that's good.
I liked minus 2 McChickens and a small fry. Like if I go and like, it's like usually after drinking, but like sometimes if I'm sad, like I'll just go get it. You know, it's like, it's fine. I've post made a McDonald's to my house when it was like icy. I'm like, sorry, bless you
there's
for coming
nothing
here.
Like it.
Like it's no, yeah.
It's just, yeah.
Okay. So I think we're going to wrap up a little bit, right now. And I'm going to ask you what your favorite meal here is in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, so this was, I had to put a lot of thought into this.
It's hard. It's a hard question. Really, if someone asked me, I would be like, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, because I can think of a lot of restaurants that I like, but every time I go there, I get something different. So I was trying to think of a place that I go to that every time I go there, I get the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Waffle Champion, which I already talked about once. This,
yeah,
so.
So, sponsor us. Give us a free waffle.
Please give me a free waffle. So, I get the fried chicken on a classic waffle.
Okay.
It's just, like, the fried chicken. It comes with, like, crispy leeks and fried. Like, it's, like, free-range chicken. Like, you know, they do everything kind of, you know.
Gourmet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With waffle fries, which are amazing.
Yes.
And truffle mayo.
Okay.
Which is amazing.
Yes.
And a mimosa.
Oh, so it's a brunch.
Yes.
It's a brunch meal.
Yeah.
So it's chicken and waffles are...
Oh, so good.
So good.
Yes.
Yeah. Waffle Champion is good, but I've talked about it before that I like the chicken and waffles from Fassler Hall too, but you need to try.
Had that.
It's very simple. It's not...
Yeah.
It's not anything. It's a chicken schnitzel. And they pound it flat.
Yeah.
And then they cut it up for you too.
Okay.
And it's just one waffle.
I can dig that.
Yeah. You should try it. But yes, Waffle Champion is great. And then you had another one that you want to talk about though too.
Yeah. And so I said if ice cream counts as a meal,
which it should.
If you're me, it does. Definitely.
Yeah.
Then you go to Roxy's Ice Cream.
Of course.
Which also, hashtag sponsor me.
You love Roxy's. I've noticed that.
I post it so much.
Do they know you when you come in?
No.
How often do you go though?
Oh, like probably once every 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay.
So like not like every week.
Okay.
But I always get, well, the last time I went, I got something different, but my favorite is just like 2 scoops in a cup, a strawberry and graham cracker.
Oh, that sounds
like
so
such
good.
A good combination.
Yeah.
Last time I went, I got strawberry and German chocolate. which like their German chocolate is vegan.
Okay.
If you're vegan.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It was delicious too. But yeah, strawberry and graham cracker. Like their strawberry ice cream, it just like brings me so much joy. Like
she has a tear in her eye right now. If you
like, it is so good. It just, yeah. I remember having it like from the truck before they ever had like a brick and mortar store, and it was amazing. And now I get it every time I go there, and it's just like some bomb ass strawberry ice cream. Like it is so good.
I like the salted caramel.
Oh, that's good too.
Also like cookies and cream, because you know, like
yeah, it's like huge chunks of cookie.
Yes, yeah. It's so good. And the Roxy's is named after their dog.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's perfect. Yeah. I like Roxy's.
I like
a lot.
Everything about it. And it's like they.
I haven't been to their store though. Okay. I've only had
at the food everyone truck. That works there is like so happy. It's like it's like going to Disney World. Like.
Oh yeah. I kind of want to talk about, even though we've like done like the last question, I kind of want to talk about Disney World after this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Roxy's is like Disney World. Like you walk in and everything is like pink and yellow and there's like painted skies on the ceiling and the employees are all so happy.
Yeah.
And you get ice cream. So it can't beat it.
Roxy's is great. We like Roxy's a lot. But you did just come from Disney World.
Yeah. I went on vacation this past weekend. And I went to Orlando, and I went to Walt Disney World, and I went to Universal.
I made sure to double tap on the Dole Whip.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Dole Whip.
So good.
Yeah. Dole Whip, and have you ever had a LeFou's brew?
Is the...
Like LeFou from Beauty and the Beast?
I haven't been to Disney World since they added all the Beauty and the Beast stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they have this thing called a LeFou's brew now.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a... It's like an apple slush.
Okay.
With like this, it's like kind of citrusy, maybe like whipped cream on top. And Beauty and the Beast is like my favorite Disney movie.
Oh, okay.
And I love like Gaston is my favorite villain.
Okay.
So I like love that little area of the park. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And so you have to go to LeFou's brew, and it is like, I mean, it's probably like so much sugar.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like shit after you drink it.
I'm like, sure.
It's so worth it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, go like ride that. You go drink that and then ride on Space Mountain. And you're like, you're gonna vomit.
Yeah.
It's so worth it.
Yeah.
So I love that. And I love Dole Whips.
When I went to Disney World, it wasn't the last time I went, but the time before, we had snuck into the bar at the top of the Contemporary.
Oh,
have you ever done that?
No.
Next time you go, that's like pro tip. You can go to the... Okay, so the Contemporary is where it has a bar for like Disney Resort. What is Disney Vacation Club members?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But you go to the, say it's like the 30th floor, you go to the 29th floor, and then you take the stairs up because they can't lock them.
Yeah.
But they had some really cool drinks like that lit up and that were like, I mean, Disney World and Orlando are just like fun like that. But I always like the dinosaur restaurant in downtown Disney.
Oh, I don't think I've been there.
It's like Rainforest Cafe, but with dinosaurs. I got really drunk there
everything.
One time.
I love everything with dinosaurs. Like, the dinosaur ride at Disney is, like, one of my favorites.
No, that is a terrifying
it's
ride.
So fun.
The one time I rode it, I was, like, so scared when I got off of it. I was like, oh, my. You should have seen the picture that they took. Because I, like, didn't know anything about it. And then I went on it, and I was like, oh, my God. But you also went to Harry Potter World.
Yeah.
And I went there before the renovations, but you went there after, and you said you didn't love.
Okay, so yeah, I went like 3 years ago, and it was just like Hogsmeade and the castle. And I'm a huge Harry Potter nerd. Like, I love it. And I loved it when I went. Like, all the shops are cool. The ride was cool, whatever. And it didn't seem that crowded, but I went on like spring break, at, like my junior year of college, I think. And then I went last weekend, and it was just...
It was terrible.
It was horrible.
Was there so many people there?
Yeah. And it's just like a bunch of like little
kids.
Not like, okay, like Disney is full of like tiny children that like might throw temper tantrums, but like are probably fine. Orlando. Universal Studios is like full of like kids that are old enough to have an attitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're like,
so,
all right.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know, it's just like packed with that. And it was like all the rides were broken down and like
so was the Gringotts ride. Did you get to ride that?
We waited for like an hour and then the ride broke down.
That's supposed to be the coolest
yeah,
one.
Yeah, well, we eventually wrote it at the very end of our day.
Okay, that's good.
So I am, well, just like for context, I'm like 5'10".
Uh-huh.
And I was the smallest person in my group of friends that went.
Oh.
So my boyfriend is 6'6".
Okay.
My brother is 6'2". My brother's wife is my height.
Uh-huh.
And so we rode the Gringotts ride. We were all like too big to ride it.
What?
Like the little bar like wouldn't close because our legs were too long.
Oh my gosh.
So,
did they make you get off?
Yeah. So like everyone gets on the ride, we get on. We get on and like the bars won't close.
No.
And so like that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And all you, like they're like, oh, you need to go into rows 3 or 6. Do you need more leg room? And we're like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, so we had to get off and then we waited like 30 minutes. And then an employee comes up. Oh, the ride broke down again.
No. Bye. I paid like probably like $500
like
to
way
get it.
Too much. Yeah. So we we finally rode it. It was cool. It was a cool ride.
Okay. Okay.
But it was just like a total hassle down there. Yeah. So the butterbeer there is delicious.
Yeah, I've had the butterbeer.
So when you like talk about Universal, it's like pros, butterbeer. Cons, everything else.
When I went, I was like, it was 5,000 degrees in Orlando. It was like in July and I was nursing the worst hangover. So it was like
horrible.
It was good because I was like very excited. I'm a huge Harry Potter fan too. So I was like very excited. But then other than that, I was like, I feel terrible. Like I had to go home and like go to bed after that. But it, all the rides and stuff when I went was cool. Have you seen the Fantastic Beasts new trailer?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so we're watching that after this.
Okay.
It's so good. Yeah. We'll have to watch it. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up now, but thank you, Erica, for coming on. And you can find Erica at Bacon and Braids on Instagram, baconandbraids.com for her blog. And you can find me at OKC Over Easy. Last week I said, if you review the podcast on iTunes and say what restaurant I should review, I'll go and do that. And you can, I'll spend my own money on that. And you can tell me a weird place to go. I'll go there. So I reviewed myself. I think that might be illegal, but I went on there just to make sure it was working. Like, but if you go on there and review me, I will definitely do that. If you have any questions, you can reach me at OKC Over Easy on Twitter. And that's it for this week. Talk to you later. Bye.